for the news on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
I'm Sean Bindley. A total fire ban remains in place across Victoria, with firefighters and emergency services working throughout the night to contain four bushfires. An evacuation order has been issued for Labatouche North. The blaze is expected to affect the area today, with authorities advising residents to prepare to evacuate. Forest Fire Management State Agency Commander David Sace told the ABC residents should remain vigilant and not ignore emergency warnings.
On high temperature days with existing large scale fires in a landscape, it's very hard to pull up the fires. And that's why we really stress that people in these fire affected areas need to be mindful of the conditions.
And in WA, a bushfire watch and act warning for Howick, Ballyatup and Cape Arid in the Shire of Esperance. A motorcyclist has died after hitting a kangaroo near Wellington in New South Wales Central West. Police believe the motorcyclist fell off his bike after hitting the kangaroo last night on Gulmer Road in Spices Creek, about 30 kilometres northeast of Wellington. The man died at the scene and is yet to be formally identified. A crime scene was established as officers investigate the circumstances of the crash. A Brisbane man accused of overseeing a 10-year, $12 million investment scam could face further charges. 54-year-old Anthony David Gray was remanded in custody yesterday after being extradited from New Zealand to reappear for mention on the 1st of April. He was charged with 25 counts of fraud relating to a property investment scheme run by his Gold Coast-based business Synergy Gray Professional Services from 2007 to 2017. Several victims lost over $1 million each, with the total combined loss $11.9 million. None of the money has been recovered. The victims came from across Australia, as well as the US, UK and parts of Europe, and police are urging people to double-check their investments and the qualifications of their financial planners. US President Donald Trump has told an appreciative audience of conservatives he'll win re-election in 2020, and by a bigger margin than his 2016 victory. He mocked Democrats for their framework to combat climate change, and said House lawmakers pushing to expand their investigations of him are sick. In a wide-ranging speech at the Conservative Political Action Conference yesterday, Trump rehashed his outsider campaign that overcame long odds and a crowded field of established politicians to claim the White House over Democrat Hillary Clinton. Tensions have ramped up again in Kashmir as the tense ceasefire between Indian and Pakistan forces collapses. The BBC's Abhishan Eddie Rajan has more.
The Indian Defence Ministry says that after 12 hours of lull in the fighting along the line of control, the firing by Pakistani forces started around noon. It continued for several hours, and they allege that the Pakistani forces were using mortar fire and small arms. And this came after one of the bloodiest days in the Kashmir region on Friday, where one woman and two children were killed because of firing along the border. On the Pakistani side, the Pakistani officials were saying that two soldiers were killed because of Indian firing.
This is Air News. Roger Federer has claimed the 100th ATP title of his career by beating 20-year-old Greek Stefanos Tsitsipas 6-4, 6-4 in the final of the Dubai Tennis Championships. The 20-time Grand Slam champion became the second man in the Open era to claim 100 titles after Jimmy Connors, who won 109. The Swiss great also avenged his shock defeat by Tsitsipas in the Australian Open fourth round of January. Federer broke Tsitsipas in the first game of the match and saved two break points at 5-4 to claim the first set in 36 minutes. Tsitsipas, though, held firm to close to 4-4 in the second set before the 37-year-old Federer switched gears to seal a decisive break and close out the victory. To rugby league, St George Illawarra coach Paul McGregor has warned the rest of the NRL to write off the Dragons at their own peril, saying his side are hardened to adversity. Some have questioned whether the Red V can still contend for this year's premiership, given the indefinite standing down of lock Jack DeBellin. DeBellin last week became the first player to be sidelined as a result of the game's new behavioural policy and has been stood aside while he fights an aggravated sex assault charge. He has pleaded not guilty. And briefly in football, Tottenham hero Hugo Lloris shrugged off a couple of costly midweek mistakes to become his side's hero on Saturday, as his 90th minute penalty saved Tottenham Hotspur a 1-1 draw at home to Arsenal in the North London Derby. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Waterways rules are in place when cleaning hard surfaces around your home. Use a broom or rake rather than hosing with water. Visit sydneywater.com.au. In roads, Bennelong Bridge is closed from Shoreline Drive and Waterway Street until 11 a.m. for the fun run that's on this morning.
In Surrey Hills, Bourke Street is closed between Favot Street and Fitzroy Street and Cleveland Street for light rail. The beach run looks clear, including Coogee, Bondi and Manly. Love the taste of deliciously salted chips? Satisfy your cravings with Oporto's famous chips, available now for just $1. Available till 6 p.m. Excludes delivery. Conditions apply. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
The Mardi Mayor Winks, going for 31 in a row. Join us Monday morning for a comprehensive wrap. Dean Lester, the Duff and Glenn Munsey. The slipper puzzle coming together with the skyline and the sweet embrace. Join us, Punters Postmortem, 9 a.m.
So, who are you backing in the next?
Well, I like this one at the distance, but...
Tab's got you covered for the country and provincial championship qualifiers. Place a fixed odds win bet on any qualifier this weekend, and if your horse runs second or third, get a bonus bet back up to $50.
We're on here, boys. Lock it in.
So, who are you backing? Tab. Download the app today. Excludes SA and WA residents. Tab account vests only. T's and C's at tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly. Call Gamble's Help 1-800-858-858.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy, 20% chance of a shower in the morning and early afternoon. Light winds becoming northeasterly, 15 to 25 kilometres an hour in the middle of the day. Now, that's perfect, from the, isn't it?
You rolled that off very
smoothly. You've just done enough there. You haven't undersold us or oversold us.
You give them a wrap for a change.
I'm giving them a wrap.
That's bizarre.
Must be the shift workers. 28 degrees, partly cloudy is the maximum for Sydney with a 40% chance of rain. Raymond, what about at Annandale right now and Armidale for the day?
Yep, Annandale right now, it's 23 degrees, partly cloudy, heading for a top of 28 degrees. Armidale for the races this afternoon, partly cloudy, slight chance of a shower or two during the afternoon, top temperature of 26 degrees.
Sports Radio, this is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. It is the final hour, Jimmy and Ray, up until 10 o'clock, up shortly. Jack Hale, our sprint sensation. Mm. You bagged him last week on the program and said that he's very...
That's not true. Now, Jack Hale's on the line listening to you spread lies and rubbish.
That is.
I said we should get Jack Hale on because the kid's a rising star.
He is a rising star. And I said, we only ever talk about him once a year. Now we're talking about him twice a year. Last week and
on
now
the Sydney Classic
week.
Last week.
And I'll tell you what, if he wins the World Champs in Doha a little bit later on this year, we'll speak about him then as well. So we'll double up on that.
You're digging a big hole for yourself.
Are we really? Jamison Leeson is a young athlete from Dunedoo who's looking to make her way to the Paralympics. Mm. And she's got a GoFundMe page. And she met up with the other great athlete from Dunedoo, Hughie Bowman, at track work on Thursday morning.
I reckon she stole the limelight. She stole the show, I reckon.
And so you were there, right?
Yeah, it was really nice. And for once, Winks wasn't the centre of attention. Jamison was, and looking forward to speaking to her too very shortly.
And incredible story of a young girl who looks past her disabilities and the tough things that have come to her life.
Yep.
And finds the positive in it. So I think there's something in that for all of us, really. Sports update with Tanya and the A-League, of course, and the EPL. We'll talk about that with Phil Moss. We'll take your calls on 1353 53. But
second question, China Doll.
Oh, second question, yeah. China Doll. You've got it?
No, I'm still struggling.
Oh, you're kidding. Hang on, I've written down a little note. Second question, China Doll.
And
when you said second question, China Doll,
I was hoping you'd come through.
Clearly, Ray's got one. Clearly, Ray's got one.
Dear,
okay,
dear.
Okay.
We've drawn a blank here, haven't we? We're completely shot.
Yeah. Well, all right. What was the name of the event cinema's winner? What was his name? What was his name?
That'll do.
He had to be, that'll do?
We had to get something out of
it. Unless you come up with something better.
No, that's it.
Standing.
That's
okay.
Question.
What was the name of the second winner? Of the winner of the Event Cinemas quiz, 1353 53 is that open line number. Call when you get the third question. Now, our winner today is Jack Hull. We've got him on the line. He had a win last week in the Sydney Sprint. He's building up for a World Championships. And then, of course, this year and then 2020, of course, all eyes on Tokyo to see how he's going. We thought we'd check in with him. Mm. He's on the line. G'day, Jack.
Morning, fellas. How are we?
Yeah,
morning,
Jack. Sorry to take a long time to get Ray. I had to pull Ray up after that.
Don't listen to him, Jack. I cop this every Sunday, Jack. It's unbelievable.
Mate, I'm sure you do.
Hey, how's it travelling? Obviously, that hamstring injury last year, which meant there was no Commonwealth Games. Obviously, based on what you did last week, you're back to full fitness and the confidence is there. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right with how it's gone. We've had a huge crash over the past 9-10 months of off-season training, and it's nice to see it paying off, I suppose, because this sort of stuff you can do and it just doesn't come to fruition. But we're running well, and we're going to Perth in 13 days now, and that's where we really want to run fast at the international.
Jack, obviously your focus this year is on the World Champs in Qatar and long-term Tokyo in 2020. How much opportunity will you get to travel overseas and compete internationally this year?
Yeah, so it's going to be pretty exciting internationally without around a team. Mm-hmm. So we're actually going to Japan a few weeks before the World Relay this year. So we're going to be in Japan racing for a few weeks there and then the World Relay Championships. And then obviously we haven't planned that far ahead, but mm-hmm. I'm guessing we'll travel around Europe for a few weeks and do some racing before the World Championships in September, October.
Mm. 13 days till your next event, you mentioned, Jack. Give us an understanding of what a week looks like for you leading into a competition and what a week looks like for you when you're not actually preparing for something. Are you full-time athletics?
Yeah, it's been a pretty tough kick this week because we've been racing for about 5 weeks straight. And obviously the training load's much lower when you're racing.
Mm.
And it's kind of been a shock to the system. This week my coach gave me 5 track sessions and 2 gym sessions. Like, we only did that stuff 7-8 weeks ago, and it's really funny how quickly your body adapts to the sort of the lower volume of training. And it's been a tough week to get in, but I think it's going to help me in a few weeks' time.
Exactly. And how is your form then, Jack? Because obviously the Sydney Classic last week, a good win. Are you getting close, do you think, to your best time? And I think it's about 10.1 is your best time, and that 10-second barrier, obviously it must be a massive goal for you to break that.
Oh, sure. I mean, we ran 10.12 in Perth a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
A bit windy, but we've run, like, my racing this season has been sort of 10.12, 10.18, 10.23, so it's all been pretty close, and that qualifies 10.10 to make the world champs, and then from there it's really game on, and we believe we can run sub-10. Stars have to align, and we got to keep putting in the training, I suppose. It's got a very conditional base, and, like, at this sort of level, when you're a 10.1 guy, you got to have some nice conditions there to run sub-10, but obviously in the next few years you're going to start get a consistent. Like last year, I was running consistent 10.2s. This year, I'm sort of running consistent 10.1, 10.2s. So we just want to see yearly progression. It's a long game, I suppose.
Exactly.
And just that progression is what we're going to see.
And you're only 20 years old too, Jack.
Yes.
We shouldn't forget that. But is it also a mental challenge to go under that 10-second barrier?
Oh, I understand that. I mean, my coach packed me to the hill, so it's good in that sense to have that guy in your corner. Because it's just myself and him staying together. I don't know. With that sort of stuff, you got to have someone there that knows what they're doing, knows the stuff, and you can put full trust in them. And it's sort of a yes sir, no sir situation. But no, I love it. It's good. Good to have him there and a really knowledgeable guy in the corner.
I think that's really interesting, the point you made, Jack. It is a long game, and I think history shows us that sprinters perhaps are at their best 28 to 32.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's 8 years away for you before. I guess it's the love of the sport that keeps you in there and those little incremental improvements that you make. But do you get a little frustrated that, you know, that you can't get to your best as quickly as possible?
I mean, it sucks, but the name of the game is getting through the sport healthy and fit, because you can put in all the training, and if you're injured on the start line, that means nothing. So it's a long game in that sense as well, of maintenance, body maintenance, doing everything correct day in, day out for years. And again, a lot of people do that and it just doesn't happen. So it's a tough gig to get your head around mentally.
Jack, do you just concentrate purely on sprinting now, because you were a prodigious long jumper as a 15, 16-year-old. You jumped 7.66, I think, at one stage. Is long jumping now just a thing of the past for you?
Look, I don't know. It's a bit of fun, but we'll see. I reckon in the next few years it could potentially get back into it. But for the next few years leading into Tokyo, it's definitely just sprinting.
Yeah.
And were there other sports as well, Jack, in your youth? Did you were there other sports that you participated in?
Yeah, I played soccer up until I was about 16, maybe for like 10, 11 years. So that was I'd love to go back to that one day, sort of in the F League and all that cool stuff. I think that'd be good, a bit of fun.
Tell me you're a striker in the mould of Michael Owen or someone like that. You know, that would have been, I could see you doing that.
A long ball through a jack.
Yeah,
Hale,
yeah.
Straight down the wing, we're on.
Exactly.
Because it's interesting, isn't it? Because we talk about it, and you know, I was saying it facetiously last week, but that is, those types of sports are mentioned every week during the course of their season and those sports people, and there's 400 of them or 600 of them. There's two sprinters in Australia, and essentially you do one event every year that gains public attention. So there's that challenge as an athlete as well.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I think Australia are doing an awesome job at the moment. The general public has a lot more viewing options now, which is really awesome to see. A lot more streaming options, a lot more variety in the events they're actually putting on, sort of the free-to-watch live streaming. So that's awesome to see, and that's definitely helping us athletes having a platform as well.
And what about the financial aspects of the sport, Jack? We're about to talk to a young girl who's hoping to get to the Paralympics next year, and she has funding issues chase her sport. What about for a person like yourself who's relatively high profile in your sport and the funding issues that you have to face?
Yeah, I mean, the thing with athletics is there's money in it. It's not through the development stages. So it's about getting to there and enjoying it. You're not going to get past it if you don't enjoy it. It's as simple as that. And I moved to Melbourne, massive financial decision for me as well. So I've been here for about 18 months and it's paying off. So we're just trying to get through those ranks and ease through them.
Nitro Athletics, is that back on the radar? Have you heard anything around that, Jack?
I haven't heard anything, actually. Popped up in my newsfeed on Facebook a few weeks ago, but nothing that I've heard that it's going ahead again. So that'd be awesome, and obviously that was a huge event. But I don't know, it was big with the Usain Bolt. It'd be going to be tough to replicate something similar to that now. I hope they can.
Yeah. Well, he's a soccer player now anyway, so...
he's still playing.
I don't know. Well, he's certainly not playing for the Central Coast.
I know, he's just partying now.
Yeah. Hey, Jack, event in 13 days' time. It's clear that you're a sprinter in form. There's so much going on for you from a world champs point of view this year, and then the longer game, as you say, to Tokyo and beyond. Great to have a chat today. And look, we're going to, and I'm sure I'll speak for the listeners as well, we're going to follow with interest your performances over the next couple of years.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Jack Hale there, young sprint star from Australia. And
exciting to watch, isn't he?
Oh, he is. The hair's going everywhere. And just having a look at that replay that when he did the hammy in the Commonwealth Games trial. Yeah. So it's as he says, yes, you make these incremental improvements, but when you get injured, bang.
Did you ever do a hamstring when you're playing?
I did one in the backyard a couple of years ago, playing against the boys.
Too, that's right.
Remember?
Yeah. Limping around for a while, weren't you?
Real issue. On many levels. 1353 is the open line number.
Kramer gives it out there to Alana Alisea, and she will score the first try of the match, and it goes to Queensland.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. And Jimmy, I had the good fortune of meeting this young lady on Thursday morning. She's got hopefully her sights set on making the Paralympic team for Tokyo in 2020. She's a rising star in the sport of bocce. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. And Jemison Leeson is on the line to join us this morning. Jemison, good morning, and thanks for coming on the show. And have I pronounced the sport correctly, Jemison, bocce?
It's actually called boccia.
Boccia, that's right. And can you briefly describe to listeners exactly what it is?
So what it is it's like indoor lawn bowls, basically, and anyone can play it. Some people kick the ball, some people throw the ball, but because I cannot throw the ball long enough or I can't kick the ball, I use a ramp to roll the balls down, and you have to get the coloured balls closer to the white ball, basically.
That's it. Mm. How'd you get into boccia, Jemison, out there in the town of Dunedoo?
So I started playing when I was about five, but just with a few friends, but it was just for fun. And then after a few years, it kind of just wore out. And then last year, my school principal actually spoke to me about there was a school competition on. And I was a bit wary of playing because I hadn't played for so long and everything. And then I ended up going, and Peter King, the national Australian selector, was there. And he said to me, oh, look, whenever you're down in Sydney next, come down and have a look what the real competition's like. And I went down once and I kept on going back.
Yeah. Well, that's, Jemison, that's extraordinary, because I think your mum takes you down every 2 weeks now to train with the elite squad in Sydney.
Yeah, so I've been going down every 2 weeks at the moment for 3 to 4 days and training, and there's a big competition up in March that I'm hopefully, well, I'm going to, and it's my first competition, so I'm really excited.
Mm. Hey, Jemison, we get a little bit spoiled. We get to speak to plenty of able-bodied athletes, and you take a lot of things for granted here. You live with spinal muscular atrophy. Can you explain to me and the listeners how it is you keep such a positive outlook and a competitive outlook too with what you're doing with boccia and beyond?
I don't really know, to be honest. I've had the disease since I was born, so I guess I'm just used to it, and I just do what I want to do, really, and I found boccia is something that I could do, and I really enjoy it, so, yeah.
Well, how do you cope, Jemison, with being the centre of attention, because you were on Thursday morning at Trackwork? The world's best racehorse was over on one corner of the track. No one was even watching
on turf
it. Yeah, it doesn't matter. World's best race. World's best jockey was talking to you, but everyone wanted to talk to you, Jemison. How did you find that?
Yeah, it was crazy, really. Like, every so often I've done a few TV interviews, but having that many on one day, it was crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And you got to meet Hugh, and he's from Dunedoo. And I know when I mentioned it to Hugh, he looked forward to meeting you. What did you guys talk about?
You know, like we talked about Winx, of course. And then we just talked about, like, the normal stuff, really, like how Dunedoo's going. And the local show was on the other weekend, and he was asking if I went to it. And yeah, it was really good.
Were you able to speak to Hugh about dealing with fame and perhaps pass on some tips for him, Jemison, after you were the centre of attention on Thursday?
Oh, I didn't really have any tips for him.
Did you watch Winx yesterday, Jemison?
Yeah, of course I did.
Yeah, she was fantastic, wasn't she?
Yeah, I was getting a bit worried towards the end, but I knew she'd come up.
Yeah, she's amazing. So, Jemison, what needs to happen for you now to hopefully make the Paralympic team for Tokyo in 2020?
So I've got I'm going to Hong Kong in May, which is my first overseas competition. So that'll be really exciting, and that's hopefully going to give me a world ranking so I can get to Tokyo. And hopefully I'm planning on going to Korea in July as well.
Wow, so that's expensive, I would imagine, Jemison.
Yeah, so this trip in May is going to cost about $8,500, and we're not sure about the one in Korea yet, but it's probably going to be about the same, if not more. I don't get any funding because it's obviously my first competition, so the support goes to the other two boys that have a lot more experience than me.
All right, now you've got a GoFundMe page, and I reckon a lot of our listeners would be interested in donating to that. Can you tell us what the address is for that?
I'm pretty sure it's called Jemison's Boccia Dream or something like that. But if you search my net, Jemison Leeson, it should come up.
All right. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to make that known to the listeners, and we're going to put it out on our social media, and we're going to ensure, hopefully, that there is some money donated. In fact, Ray and I, well, Ray's coerced me into doing it. I'm a bit of a tight person, generally speaking, Jemison.
You'll be donating, Jemison, don't you worry about that. And what we want to do, Jemison, hopefully, is talk to you when you're in Hong Kong and doing well over there. We really love to just stay in touch with you and hope you go along that journey with you to Tokyo.
Thank you very much for having me.
Our pleasure. Jemison Leeson there, she's a boccia player. She's looking to go to the Paralympics in 2020 at Tokyo. She has a number of competitions beforehand. She's got a GoFundMe page. We're going to put that out on social media. She suffers from spinal muscular atrophy, and you heard from her there. She's just amazing. She's
a wonderful young lady.
You keep a positive attitude around that. 1353 53 is the open line number. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with a sports update shortly.
Sky Sports Radio has your perfect start to a winning day. Racing HQ is the complete package of all the day's vital racing information.
She'll get a lovely run just in behind the speed.
She's got a win in her very soon.
From 10, we'll preview the major New South Wales meet. And you'll hear from all the newsmakers, trainers, jockeys and owners. Racing HQ is required listening every morning on Sky Sports Radio.
Do you know what a doppelganger is? Well, look at a picture of champion Saya Schwarzier side by side with our yearling filly, and that's a doppelganger. She's a dead ringer for Dad, and we want you to join us at Heart Thoroughbreds to race her. Her mum wasn't bad either, nor were her winning siblings. She's bred to be a speed machine. She's so promising, the breeder stayed in the ownership. Check her out at hearttthoroughbreds.com. That's hearttthoroughbreds.com. We love our horses. AR AFSL 288213. Entries for the 2019 English Australian Broodmare and Weanling Sale close Friday, March 8th. The best place to sell quality bloodstock. English Riverside Stables, Sydney. Go to inglis.com.au.
China Doll, the award-winning restaurant located at the historic Finger Wharf at Woolloomooloo, Ray, takes creative dining in Sydney to another level. China Doll offers an innovative menu, impressive cocktail list, personalised service and spectacular views of the Sydney skyline. Yes, yes, yes and yes. Their menu showcases a modern take on culinary traditions from China, Hong Kong, Japan and Southeast Asia. And the chilli salt squid and the king prawns and the pork belly are out of this world.
Pretty good, the pork belly.
It's a standout. Dine where the racing industry dines. Ray Thomas and Tanya Thomas, all there. Steve Malkinoff.
Can I put up this all the time? Jane,
Tracy.
Draw rank 10 and tell him put him back in his
pocket. All under the expert eye of restaurateur Steve Anastasio. For bookings, call 02-9380-6744 or visit the website chinadoll.com.au.
On the Big Sports Breakfast weekend, with a sports update, here's Tanya Thomas.
South 36 beat St George Illawarra 24 in last night's Charity Shield League match in front of a big crowd in Mudgee. 20-year-old Corey Allen scored a hat-trick for the Rabbitohs. New Zealand beat the West Tigers 26-16, Cronulla 30, Newcastle 6, Parramatta 20-0 over the Panthers, Brisbane 25, the Gold Coast 22, North Queensland beat Melbourne 14-6 and Manly 38, the Roosters 20. India beat Australia in the first of the one-dayers in Hyderabad overnight by 6 wickets. Setting 237 for the win, India passed the target with 10 balls remaining. Game 2 of 5 is on Tuesday night. Meanwhile, the Aussie women's team has an unassailable 2-0 series lead over New Zealand, heading into the final game of their ODI series in Melbourne today. Newcastle had a 2-0 win over Melbourne Victory in last night's A-League game in Geelong. The win extends the Jets' unbeaten run to 5 matches, placing them in touching distance of the top 6. In fact, they're just 2 points behind the 6th-placed Wellington. The Crusaders extended their record Super Rugby winning streak to 18, dominating Queensland scrum in a 22-12 win over the Reds in Brisbane last night. The Sunwolves pulled off a massive upset with a 30-15 defeat of the Chiefs in Hamilton. Since joining Super Rugby in 2016, the Japanese franchise had previously not won a match outside of Asia. The Stormers 16 beat the Sharks 11 and the Bulls 30-12 over the Lions. Scott McLaughlin made a perfect start to his Supercars title defence, claiming the season opening race in Adelaide in his new Ford Mustang. Starting third on the grid yesterday, the Kiwi finished the 250-kilometre race 13 seconds ahead of Jamie Wincup. Shane Van Gisbergen was third. Qualifying for race two today gets underway at 10:30 Adelaide time. In AFL pre-season at Blacktown last night, GWS beat the Swans 81-59. Spankham, driven by Mark Purden, held off a late challenge by the Fixer to win the Group 1 Miracle Mile last night at Tabcorp Park, Menangle, with Posterboy coming in third. It was Purden's first time driving the Miracle Mile winner. Still with racing, and the Dean Murphin trained I Am Captain is favourite on TAB fixed odds at $2.60 for the fifth leg of the Country Championships qualifier today at Mudgee. The first two past the post go through to the final on April 6. Late yesterday, the fourth leg was run at Goulburn with Almahaha and Bocelli winning through. Manchester City moved back to the top of the English Premier League with a 1-0 win at Bournemouth overnight. They sit 2 points ahead of Liverpool, who play Everton tonight. Tottenham remains third after a 1-1 draw with Arsenal, while Manchester United moved above the Gunners into fourth spot after they beat Southampton 3-2. Elsewhere, Brighton 1, Huddersfield 0, Burnley 1, Crystal Palace 3, Wolverhampton 2-0 over Cardiff, West Ham 2-0 over Newcastle. Roger Federer won his 100th ATP Tour title at the Dubai Tennis Championships overnight, defeating Stefanos Tsitsipas 6-4, 6-4. His first ATP title came at the Milan Indoors on 4th of February 2001, all that time ago. It was an absolute dream come true, he said. He's just the second man after Jimmy Connors to reach the landmark, and that was in 1983. Later today, Nick Kyrgios will take on Alexander Zverev in the final of the Mexican Open. Australian golfer Minji Lee is within touching distance of an LPGA title win at the Women's World Championships in Singapore. After a solid third round, 5-under 67 yesterday, she's just one shot off the lead at 10-under, heading into the final round today. And it's do or die today for the Sydney Kings when they take on Melbourne at a packed out Qdos Bank Arena. After Thursday night's flogging by United, the Kings must win to keep their season alive and take the final series to a decider in Melbourne. Perth is already through to that grand final series.
Go Kings.
Boy, oh boy. So we've still got the summer comps sort of finishing off and the winter comps starting. So it's
merging together.
Chock-a-block at the moment, isn't it?
Funny you mention that, Tan, because I'm just looking now. We're at round 21 of the A-League, and I'm looking at that and thinking, okay, they are going to get swamped by a number of codes, and already it's been a challenging season from a TV viewer point of view for the A-League.
Yeah, heading into their finals, their business end.
It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse. We'll talk to Phil Moss about that very shortly.
Harrison again. Razzo. Hayley Razzo!
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Thank you, Tan. We do appreciate that.
It's all happening, Tan.
Phil Moss is on the line. I tell you what, there's to lose, Liverpool. That's all I've seen. Come on, Everton. Come on, Everton. Where are they playing? Goodison Park. Morning, Phil.
Goodison Park.
Yeah, good morning, guys. That morning, is your Phil. Go-to line, Jimmy, isn't it?
It is.
Well, you know why. You know why it's the go-to line? Because it's true.
Yeah, but don't wear it out, mate. Don't wear it out. Well, save that for the last few rounds.
I've been saying it since pre-Christmas, and here comes Man City.
They are surging, Phil, aren't they, Man City?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, they scraped home overnight, to be honest, against Bournemouth. It took a Riyad Mahrez goal off the bench in the 55th minute to get them past Bournemouth. But
how many points did they get for that win?
Yeah, they got all three.
Oh.
And a clean sheet, yeah. So away from home, so, you know, full credit to them. But, yeah, look, it's a really interesting run coming up for both clubs. You've got, obviously, Liverpool play Everton, that Merseyside derby, as you said, and then they've got Burnley and Fulham either side of that Champions League clash against Bayern Munich. Manchester City have got a couple of extra games because they've got Fulham. They got Schalke, Cardiff, and then they've got the FA Cup quarter final against Swansea to throw in there as well. So, you know, they should navigate that one, no problem, but it's an extra game and, you know, all logistics that go with it. So, an interesting run coming up for both clubs, and I do agree with you, Jimmy. I do agree with you. It is ours to lose.
Can I put it to you this way? If Pep or Jurgen were on the open market, who would fetch higher dollar?
Oh, well, you'd still have to go with Pep if he wins things.
So, hang on. So if the Manchester City squad and the Liverpool squad were on the open market as a collective, who would fetch the top dollar?
100% Liverpool.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Just to let you know, $1.50 Manchester City at tab.com.au to win the Premier League, and Liverpool $2.60.
Still on the EPL, Phil, Tottenham had gone 28 games without a draw this season, an extraordinary stat, but overnight 1-1 against Arsenal in the North London derby.
Yeah, that's right. It was a strange sort of atmosphere. I was watching that and the lead up to it as well. It just seemed a little bit too friendly. I saw some comments from Lee Dixon before the game as well, and he was talking about, you know, him striding into the ground and being waved at by Spurs fans as an ex-Arsenal player, and he said that was very strange. But it ended all square as well, which is a bit too friendly for a North London derby. But Harry Kane was a saviour for Spurs from a penalty spot. He won the penalty and he dispatched it no problem after Aaron Ramsey gave Arsenal that lead in the 16th minute.
What was the name of the bloke who got the 89th minute goal for Manchester United? What is his name?
Romelu
Lukaku.
You do know how to pronounce it, Jimmy. I've heard you say it many times.
Yeah.
And he reeled away sucking his thumb. So one can only imagine maybe there was a baby in the Lukaku family at somewhere. But, he took his goals very, very well. And, you know, When you sum up Manchester United's season, you look at players like Lukaku and Pogba and how they're playing now under Solskjaer compared to how they were under Mourinho, and it's chalk and cheese. But one wonders, and this is what the big question will be at the end of the season, will be, did the Manchester United board act too late? Given the run that they've had, is it too little too late, or will they scrape into those Champions League or consolidate those Champions League spot by the end of the season?
Mm.
Jimmy was always confident they'd make the top four at the very least, though, wasn't he, Phil, from day one?
He's a confident lad, though, right?
He is. No, very true.
He's placed.
Exactly. Hey, Phil, on to the A-League. Couple of important games. We'll move on, James. Couple of important games already been played. Newcastle Jets, talk about surging. They're having a late season run towards the finals, beating Melbourne victory away 2-0. Big win. And Sydney FC's 2-0 win over Adelaide United. Important, because it just gives them some breathing space now.
Yeah, it certainly does, Ray, and there are a couple of teams that will be just nervously looking over their shoulder just a little bit, and probably Wellington and Melbourne City, I should say, with Newcastle on that surge. Mm. But again, you know, if Newcastle can scrape in, then all credit to them, because it's been a very interesting season for them. Obviously, they had their main goal scorer out for the first 9 weeks of the season, so that certainly has hurt them. But, it's still all to play for. Sydney FC opened a four-point gap over Melbourne Victory in third, with Victory going down in that game to Newcastle. What a goal from Dimi Petratos in injury time with his left foot, top corner. Very, very comfortable to say that you would see that on any stage in world football. So, interesting closing few weeks definitely to come. But there's 2 points now with Newcastle and Wellington. Newcastle in seventh, Wellington in sixth. So it'll be interesting to see if they can haul them in. But Wellington, I don't know if they've been a little bit destabilised by all this talk of Mark Rudin going to Western United next season after an incredible debut season for him, whether that plays a part in the closing rounds as well.
Mm. That win for Newcastle has put a hole in Mitchell Duke's hopes of getting the Wanderers to the playoff, which of course would have resulted of you apologising on air.
Coming up with your strategy is what you're going to give me then, Jim.
Working on it as we speak. Working on it as we speak. Okay, give us a winner here. Melbourne City up against Perth Glory. Brisbane Roar up against the Wanderers. Mitchell Duke, come on. And the Central Coast Mariners up against Wellington.
Well, I'll give you the tips for those two next week, because
they're not till
split round.
Split round, okay.
Yeah, so it's Melbourne City up against Perth today. But Melbourne City have lost Richie Delap, Bart Schenkeveld and Delbridge as well. So that's a massive chunk of their back line gone, and huge experience and form from Delap and Schenkeveld. They're both out of this game. So I think, and Perth have got the best attack in the league. So, look, I can't see anything other than a Perth Glory win away in Melbourne.
And
just
on that, mate, and I made mention of it a little bit earlier, and again, I don't say it facetiously, the A-League's coming into a period of time, they've got the split round, they're coming into a period of time where the NRL starts, and then 3 weeks later, the AFL starts, and TV ratings this year have been a challenge, and they're coming into the pointy end of their season, and there's the two behemoths are going to take even more viewers away. From a, as a football man, what's your take on that?
Yeah, look, it's a difficult time of the year for all those reasons, and also the playing surfaces. They deteriorate rapidly because of the other codes and the shared stadia. So it is a difficult time of the year because you feel like you've had all this build up to the pointy end, and then a lot of the focus gets taken away. But you know, it is what it is. We moved to summer, you know, for the A League when we started the A League because of those reasons, to try and not clash with the other football codes. But you can't help a little bit of overlap. But it comes down to, you know, putting on the best product that we can and enticing fans to not give up on the league, you know, when the games mean so much more than just the average home and away rounds.
Mm. Phil, on Jimmy's point, does the A-League go too deep into autumn then? Could this be the finals period now?
Yes.
Yeah, look, it's that debate is there. You'd rather the start of the season overlap than the end of the season because of the importance of the games. But again, then you've still got that issue of the quality of the surface and yeah. the logistics around sharing grounds at the start of the season. If you start before the rugby league and the AFL seasons end. Mm. And of course a lot of the focus there is on their final series. So look, it's a very difficult one to juggle, and I don't envy the guys that sit in the boardroom and try and come up with the right answers.
Mm. Fair enough. Hey, Phil, the Ante Milicic era with Matilda started with a win over New Zealand. They're playing South Korea tonight, 97 days until the World Cup. How are the Matildas tracking, mate?
Yeah, look, I was out at the game the other night, Ray. I went out there to watch, and it was really interesting. Like you could see the Matildas players, their body language was, you know, time to get on with things and really focus. And that was with no disrespect to Alan Stadjic, of course, but the most important focus is on playing games and winning games and finding that form that's going to help them deliver on their potential of being one of the contenders for this World Cup in France in June. So, look, they certainly played well. They played with a lot of energy. You could see the style of football that Ante wants to play, playing out from the back. I thought they missed a bit of a cutting edge in the top third. But, you know, they're building under a new coach, so mm-hmm. it's going to take time. They've got another two games. They play South Korea tonight, which will be a big test. They absolutely routed Argentina the other night in the curtain raiser, and then they've got a game away to the US, which is number one in the world, and then Ante's talking about two games leading into the World Cup where they take on Italy, Jamaica and Brazil in their group. So look, a really exciting time for the Matildas now that you know, they're back on the pitch. The focus is on the football, and Ante seems to have started with a bang. You know, he's named Sam Kerr as the captain, which I think is a masterstroke. She's a world-class player. Well, she's a world-class player. She's got a lot of respect. She leads by example in every game, and I was watching her every move the other night, and her enthusiasm, her great with and without the ball, and we all know what she's like in front of goal, but without the ball, just watching the work rate that she puts in, if Sam Kerr can do that, then there's no excuse for anyone else not to.
Argentina outsiders today against New Zealand, and then Australia favourites against South Korea. $1.52, $3.80 to draw the South Korean win, paying $6.50. That's the Women's Cup of Nations. That game with Australia, the Matildas, starts at 7 o'clock. Just want to go to this one from one of our listeners. Just tuned in. Has anyone mentioned Honda getting man of the match last night in a 2-0 loss where he wasn't spotted off nobbies? What a load
Couldn't
of rubbish.
Agree. Couldn't agree more.
Master Monkey.
That's a very educated listener we have there, Jimmy. I was watching it and I was astounded, but it is what it is. There was you know, people at the game who made that vote, but yeah, look, I didn't agree with it last night. Don't get me wrong, he wasn't bad, but certainly not the best player on the pitch in a side that lost 2-0.
Glen Willow surface perfect for the A-League. That's from Dez out there at Mudgee. So there you go. They might put in a bid for an A-League game.
There you go. I think there has been an A-League game out. Actually, Newcastle took the game out to Mudgee.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, okay. We'll get another one out there, Dez.
Are you going to tell Mossy about Adelaide Ellison?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Morning, Ray, Tanya, and Ching Ching. Hashtag more Mossy. Hashtag more Liverpool. Cheers, Adelaide Allison. There you go, Aussie fan.
I wonder if that's a pseudonym to one of my family members.
Probably. Yeah, big good morning to John. Hope he's listening and enjoying the show. Thank you, Mossy. We'll speak next week, mate.
Pleasure as always, boys. Have a great day.
There Thanks, he Phil. Is, Phil Moss, our football expert, Liverpool tragic and very nervous as they sit just behind Manchester City on the English Premier League table. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break and we will be back with more.
Tricolours invites you to their 2019 yearling launch on Thursday, March 7 at the Republic Hotel from 6 p.m. Join host Joel Kane and special guests Joe Pride, John Sargent and Rick Connolly for an insightful and entertaining evening you can't afford to miss. Shares will be available to purchase in our 2019 yearlings by leading stallions including All Too Hard, Smart Missile and Zoostar. Is 2019 the year you take the plunge? Places are strictly limited, so RSVP today. Visit tricolours.com.au. APSL 336964.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta.
Supercoach NRL is back. Take on your mates in the ultimate test of footy knowledge and compete to win 50 grand plus weekly cash prizes. Season starts March 14, so round up your mates and register your team at supercoach.com.au. Conditions apply.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian proudly offer a rare as hen's teeth yearling colt, the only son of Criterion available to the open market. Criterion won 7 races, 4 at Group 1 level and over 7.3 million. Equal world champion, he's Australia's highest earner ever to start from Exceline. Trained by Gay, she was a Jewel City winner. Join the Dynamic Gay and Adrian team to race the only Criterion colt available. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 336808.
Moller feeding Becky Joy, jumping upstairs for the dunk. Oh, this is some sort of celebration from Melbourne United. It's being dominant.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show with Jimmy. We need our third question for our giant old quiz.
Yeah. Well, hang on. Last time you said, I thought Ray's got a question, and you didn't. Have you got one this time?
I have.
Oh.
Where is Jamieson going for her first overseas competition?
Okay. Where is Jamieson, our previous guest, Jamieson Leeson? Where is she going for her first overseas sporting challenge?
Yep.
Sporting challenge. Okay. 1353-53. Call now if you want to win the $150. Call now if you want to win the $150 for the China Doll
experience.
Which
is
an
outstanding experience.
Yeah. Speaking of, we've had Grant text in. We're talking about our talk topic today. Mm. Les Darcy, Maitland.
Oh yes.
Les Darcy put. Remember that they used to all get on the train and follow Les down for the big fights.
Correct. And my good friend Neil Breen from Channel 9.
Hang on, I'll just pick up that name that you're dropping.
No,
there,
he's on with News Central on Wednesday night, Breeny.
Yeah, I'm just picking up the name
Breeny,
you're dropping.
7
there.
O'clock. Rod Laver, Rod Reddy, Anna Mears, Duncan Armstrong, Rockhampton.
Rockhampton.
There you go.
But he's not from Rockhampton, is he?
No, but he's
Rod Laver.
Oh, he's the Marlborough Marvel, yes.
See, Marlborough.
You didn't believe me until I told you. Oh, I showed you in the book.
Ray, why would I not?
I had to show you in that book, didn't I?
Yeah, you did, I must admit. Like a Doubting Thomas.
The Marlborough Marvel.
Ray Thomas, not a Doubting Thomas. Okay, apparently Trent Langscale from tab.com.au, our Victorian listener, is on the line. Is that right? Come in, Trent.
Not apparently. Definitely here. Good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray.
How reassuring.
Trent. Hey, Trent, big day yesterday. I was telling Jimmy earlier, the biggest bet you've ever taken on a horse race.
That is right there, Ray. $280,000 at $1.08 on Winx. It was basically a matter of moments before the barriers opened for yesterday's Tab Chipping Norton Stakes. And, Ray, I know that we were chatting throughout the week once the final field was known on Wednesday about the volume of bets that were coming through. And as you would have seen with the email details, I mean, for comparison for yourself, Jimmy, we held just under $2.1 million on her to win the Apollo Stakes a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
Yesterday, it was almost $2.9 million that we held on her. And the eventual payout, this is including where Winx is the last leg of a multi, so it could have involved horse racing or other events.
Yes.
$3.322 million.
So it's fair to say you want to retire, don't you?
I was going to say you should get out there and pull a tail then, Trent.
Oh, wouldn't we be popular if that was the case?
Yeah.
She accounted for 98.5% of all the win hold on the Tab Chipping Norton Stakes, and the hold of almost $2.9 million, that is pretty close to what we held on her to win the third and fourth Cox Plates. Now, the Cox Plate is one of the Grand Slam races of Australian racing, and the Tab Chipping Norton Stakes is a Group 1, but it's not really part of a carnival. It just shows the pull that she has, and, I mean, there's going to be two races to go. Can only imagine what it's going to be like, Ray and Jimmy, for George Ryder Stakes, and that's she'll be the headline horse on Golden Slipper Day,
she's
and then Queen Elizabeth Stakes on day two of the championships.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, no, it's going to... Look, Ray's normally a conservative punter, and yet for him to put $280,000 on yesterday, I thought...
If I had your money and...
Very, very
that's normally your tax bill, isn't it, James?
Oh, please. Sydney Kings, gee, they were rubbish on Thursday night. We're hoping for some sort of improved performance against the dastardly Melbourne United today, Trent.
I was going to say, who's hoping that the Sydney Kings don't have a bad one today?
We are.
Well, you are. $1.90 each of two for the Sydney Kings and Melbourne United. A 2.20 start at Kudos Bank Arena. The margin betting pretty tight there. The Kings by 1 to 10 and Melbourne United 1 to 10 at $2.80. And both the sides to win by 11 or more at $4.80. Obviously, they'll be waiting for the Perth Wildcats in the NBL Grand Final Series. And if you can't get enough of basketball, there is an NBA game on ESPN at 12.30 this afternoon. The Philadelphia 76ers without Joel Embiid at $2.55. The Golden State Warriors without Klay Thompson at $1.52. But unlike Brad Rosen and yourself, fellas, go Melbourne United.
Go those kids.
Does that mean Ben Simmons will get the triple-double-triple today?
And whatever he has to do to win, yeah. Hey, Trent. Federer won overnight. Where's Nick Kyrgios? When's he playing in Mexico in the final? 2 o'clock, isn't it?
That is 2 o'clock this afternoon. It'll be shown on one of the ESPN channels. And
is that
fair
a big
to
week?
Say, Nick Kyrgios,
big
he's
week?
Made plenty of friends over in Acapulco during the week.
Well, Rafa's not one of them, that's for sure.
Rafa's given him a touch-up on the way through. The fans have really enjoyed Nick Kyrgios' antics, but he has had albeit we know he's talented. He's beaten Nadal, Stan Wawrinka, and he beat John Isner yesterday. But he is a $2.80 outsider against Alexander Sasha Zverev at $1.42. Once again, at 2 o'clock this afternoon, if you want to bet on the sets, you've got Zverev to win in straight sets at $2.30. But Nick Kyrgios, for all these antics, he's an undoubted talent, and he has a chance to win an ATP tournament this afternoon in Acapulco.
Righto, let's get through some of the prizes here. Round 21 of the A-League, go.
We've got Melbourne City against Perth. Melbourne City, $2.90. The draw, $3.50. Perth, $2.35. That's a 5 o'clock start at Amy Park. Three matches overnight in the EPL. For the biggest of the three, at 3.15 in the morning at Goodison Park. Everton against Liverpool. Everton are $5.50. The draw at $4. And Liverpool, $1.60. Aside from that, fellas, pre-season matches in the AFL. And
Carlton
also
had a win. Trent.
Oh, right.
It was February, right? Race two of the Adelaide 500. That's starting at 3.50 this afternoon, our time. Scott McLaughlin won yesterday. He's $2.75 to win in Adelaide again today. Qualifying begins at 11 o'clock this morning. There's a lot on, fellas. And you can check out those markets and plenty more at your local Tab at tab.com.au and the Tab app on your mobile.
I don't care what people say. I think you do a fantastic job here on a Sunday morning, Trent.
You generally trot out that line giving you about every month, so it's always worrying when you bring it up.
He needs some new material, doesn't he, Trent, don't you reckon?
I don't know who these people are. They're certainly not from Victoria because I only know there's only one other listener. So
that's
it
right.
Must be
John from St Kilda, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great to see John again yesterday at Flemington, right?
Very good, Trent. We'll speak next week, mate.
Thanks, Trent.
Thanks, guys.
Trent Manscale there from tab.com.au. No more calls on the China Doll long-time listener quiz. We've got a winner. Our great mate, Michelle from Dubbo.
Yeah, congratulations, Michelle.
You're going to get from Dubbo down to Sydney for the China Doll.
Well, it's worth it.
Absolutely.
Absolutely worth it.
Blake Shin was talking to Happy Clapper during the course of the run. John was our winner of the quiz this week.
We stumbled on that one.
And Hong Kong is where Jamison Leeson is heading for her first overseas.
Congratulations, Michelle.
Yeah, well done, Michelle. We'll be sending that voucher out to you very shortly. Now, listen, Ray, I would have to describe negotiations as delicate during the course of the offseason. Protracted is another very good word.
But successful?
Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Foster from Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. He's back.
Round of applause for Scotty.
Hey!
Good morning, boys.
Exactly.
Well, it's only a trial game. I haven't locked in just yet, boys, but I'm sure that with all the pre-season training going on, that match day is here today, and we will continue advertising with Sky Sports Radio for another year, and I think it's our 17th consecutive year.
Wow, how good. By the way, we sold more cars last year than your best salesperson, surely.
Boys, you call them sales, we call them giveaways. So it all means the same thing. They're not at work anymore.
It's good positive PR, though.
Oh, here we go. Now, tell us about the car that you've got on offer for the listeners today.
Oh, Jimmy, we have an outstanding BMW X5 four-wheel drive. It's one of the best you will find. This car presents outstandingly. It comes with all the luxury options like leather trim, climate control air conditioning. It's got the driver front seat memory and all the normal mod cons like air conditioning and ABS brakes, airbags, all that sort of thing. But this one also has side steps and a power sunroof to finish off this great-looking vehicle. This is going to be one very nice vehicle for one very lucky listener, but they're going to need to be quick because I am slashing this price $7,990 down to just $5,990 today. And this is one of the best BMW X5s you'll see, and this will sell today. So give us a call on 963750024 or go to the website www.fosterscqualitycars.com.au. You will see this car and just how good this vehicle really is. So you've got to be quick, because Jimmy, I know how good you know this car is.
Hey, Scotty, I'm about to say, it's not only a nice car, I think it's a very familiar car. Did one James Smith used to own this?
It was, in fact, Jimmy Smith's vehicle, and I tell you what, he's one of those meticulous owners, because the car is outstanding. It's beautiful. And it drives sensational.
Can I just Can I just clarify what you're slashing the price from and to?
You've done it. He's done it, Jim. Well done, Scotty. Fantastic negotiations. Looking after our listeners.
No, when you said yes, it looks like the first 3 months of advertising's free of charge, given what the slashing you've done on this car.
Well, it can't be free, mate, because it's that cheap. I'm not going to make anything out of it. I just need to move it. And I thought, why not start with your vehicle, mate?
He's so upset, Scotty. It's not funny. Hey, Scotty, but if anyone needs any finance packages, you can always help me out, can't you, mate?
We certainly can. We've got great finance packages available. We've got access to a number of lenders, and this allows us to get the best possible rates, but it also allows us to help a lot of people that couldn't previously get finance get into a car. So if you've had credit issues in the past, then now's the time to give us a call. If you're on a pension, have paid or unpaid default, starting a new business and need a work vehicle, even Uber drivers, then go to our website, www.fosterscqualitycars.com.au, or give us a call on 963750024, and we can get you driving a car as soon as this afternoon.
And don't forget, still struggling here. Don't forget you can source cars and all that sort of stuff, 17th consecutive year. Righto. Thanks, Scotty. Good luck with the car today. Tell you what, don't discount it if someone just walks in off the street too, and keep going. All right?
Might have to get you to sign a little bit of an autograph on it or something.
We want to keep the value of the car, not devalue it.
Well done, you've broken my heart.
I hope Parramatta runs 16th this year. Fair dinkum.
Mate, as long as one ear going well, that's the main thing.
That's true.
Good to have you back, Scotty.
Good on you, Scotty.
Good to have you back.
Thank you for that, mate. We do appreciate it. Remember, get out there. Steve Foster and Sons Quality Cars. Check them out online. Fosters Quality Cars.com.au. that price again for the BMW.
You're not happy, eh?
$5,900. When did he was going to tell me?
Master Monkey. Scotty's back. I feel whole again. Love it. I'm happy in mood, power legs, and pale in colour. Master Monkey's interesting.
Very strange dude, old Master Monkey. I think I may offer to be Michelle at Dubbo's Plus One at China Doll. Kathy at Collector. Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, good morning, Kathy.
Coming up on Racing HQ, Mick Wallace is going to look at the Country Championships qualifier day at Mudgee. Gary Cleese is going to preview Armidale. The BSP, of course, back tomorrow morning at 5:30. Raymond, we have to find a winner
best score
for our Wingman and Winx giveaway. Wingman and Winx. I'm going to go with Peter, who made a couple of good points, including the court of public opinion is not the court of law. So Peter is a caller. What are you laughing at now?
This one's from Donkey. Jimmy, get yourself down to Spotlight. They're having a sale. You might be able to get some new material.
Thank you, Donkey.
This is also from Lucy. Good morning. The British journalist, that's Matt Chapman, who queried Winx's opposition, but how can an Irish hurdler hold the record for Group 1 wins? Presume most would be over hurdles. They all were. And even though jumping is big there, I don't think the opposition will be very strong. Cheers, Lucy. She's 100% right, James.
So there you go. Another learned listener, which is a little bit disconcerting. We try to brainwash them as much as we can on a Sunday
morning. Smarter than us, James.
Exactly.
Much smarter
than us. I think that's very clear, Raymond. Have a good day, mate.
You too. Go those Kings.
Go those Kings. We need you to win. Come on. 20 past. Are you in tenure?
We're not going, but we'll be watching.
All right. You're not going?